she became a Christian. And not long after she became a Christian, her husband left her. Not long after that, she found out her child was doing drugs. And she came to me and she sat down and she says, "You know, I was not prepared for these kinds of things to happen. You told me that Satan would come after me, but I was not prepared for this. I'm quitting the church." I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but in my neighborhood, about once a week, I find this in my driveway. And I think to myself, why is somebody throwing their trash in my driveway? And I get it the following week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is, and I have a guy that owns a property next to mine that he rents out, and there's nobody there. So I have to go over and pick up his paper. Sometimes it rains on them, and I have to pick up soggy papers. But there was one morning, early in the morning, about 5:30, I had gotten up and I had gone outside, and I saw a car, and I heard that sound. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman, but each driveway, I heard it land. What's interesting about it is the person that's throwing them doesn't always get it in the driveway. Sometimes they land in the road. As a matter of fact, it was raining so hard one day after he'd thrown these out, I watched three of them go down the drain. One time, I don't know what happened, but it was all the way in my bushes on my side yard. I don't know how that happened. But the one thing I do know is I never open this up to see what's inside it. Sometimes, neighbor down the street, they've been gone for a while, and I'll look, and there's three or four of them piled up. And that's all I've got to tell you today. I hope you have a good afternoon, and we'll see you next week. I want you to sit in that moment. Because the parable that was just read to you, that's the way it came across to the crowd. Jesus is talking about people planting seeds. These people had heard all this before. We know that seeds don't sprout if they go on the path. We know sometimes the seeds go up into the rocks and they bloom for a little bit and then they die because they have no root. We know all of this. And Jesus dismisses the crowd. And he dismisses the crowd because he was speaking to them in parables. Here's what's very interesting about this, and there's 2 points on your sermon notes that I want you to get today. And number one, I want you to get this. You alone are responsible for your spiritual condition. You alone are responsible for your spiritual condition. You cannot blame it on me. You cannot blame it on your wife. You cannot blame it on your friends. You cannot blame it on the elders. You alone are responsible for your spiritual condition. The second thing I want you to get today is that Jesus wants to be your Lord, not just your helper. Jesus wants to be your Lord, not just your helper. He is here to help. The scriptures talk about how he is helper, how he helps us. But he wants to be your Lord first. And a lot of times I have seen it over the years as I have been in ministry for a number of years. Somebody asked me today, how long have you been here? Because it seems like every time we come, we have to hear you preach. And I said, 22 years. He said, well, I've been coming about 20 and I'm getting kind of tired of it. No, he didn't say that. But the thing of it is, God wants to be your Lord. And I want you to get that because so many people come to church, so many people have desperate times going on in their lives, and they want Jesus as a helper. And Jesus doesn't work that way. He's either Lord of all or Lord of nothing. And if you really want to have that relationship with God, you need to have him. Look at what it says here. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to people in parables?" The very people that have been hanging out with him forever didn't get it. They just thought this is the craziest thing ever. And then if you look on the second page, it says, he replied, "Because knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." I don't know about you, but that's not a very Jesus thing to say, is it? You got it, but they don't. He goes on to say, "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand." And what Jesus was saying is there's four types of people that are in the church today. There's four types of people that are here in this room today. And you have to decide what type of person you are. And one of the things that I want you to see today, that when he's talking about the parable of the sower, he's basically talking about people and their spiritual condition. And some people's spiritual condition is influenced by their parents. Some people's spiritual condition is influenced by the world. But the bottom line for all of us is we are responsible for our own spiritual condition. Not our wives, not our parents, not our grandparents, not our preacher, not our leaders. You are responsible for your own spiritual condition. What he says next is really telling. "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. First of all, letter A, and I put this in here. I didn't make you fill this out because I want you to get this. The path that he's talking about represents are hearing the message about the kingdom and do not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. The seed is sown along the path. I prepared this lesson 2 weeks ago, and yesterday I saw a bumper sticker that explains who is on the path. It was a bumper sticker that said, "I'm going to hell in every religion." And I thought to myself, that person has condemned themselves by not seeking out God. And there are people that are in the audience today that are not seeking God at all. They come in because maybe they're trying to make somebody happy, or maybe because they're curious a little bit, but they're not really seeking God. And the evil one's come along and taken their heart. The second thing is the rocks. It said the seed from rocky ground first, someone who hears the word and once it receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And I've seen this happen so many times over the years, where people have come and they're excited about the good news. They hear the gospel message. They become Christians. But as soon as persecution comes, as soon as trouble comes, they walk away. There was a young lady that came, and she was in a great place with her family, her marriage, and everything. She came to church and she heard the word of God, and over time she became a Christian. And not long after she became a Christian, her husband left her. Not long after that, she found out her child was doing drugs. And she came to me and she sat down and she says, "You know, I was not prepared for these kinds of things to happen. You told me that Satan would come after me, but I was not prepared for this. I'm quitting the church." Sometimes that happens, where people receive the good news with joy, and then persecution or trouble comes along. And they don't hang on to God, they hang on to the world. And Satan takes them away. And then letter C, the third type of seed, is this seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, underline those words, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, underline those words, choke the word, making it unfruitful. So many people today do not have the right relationship with God because they are going after the things of this world. And so many people don't rely on God because they rely on their wealth. And I am going to tell you, those things will choke the word out of your life. If you start worrying about the things that are happening in this world today, and I see so much of this going on in the church with friends of mine where they're so consumed with the news, they're so consumed with what's going on in the world, they're so consumed with their jobs and what they're doing in their professions that they let the word get choked out of their life. And the final one is the good soil. It says, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. You see, I see people come into the church. Some of them come from some crazy backgrounds. We have people that have been on drugs. We have people that have alcohol issues. We have people in this audience that have sex addiction issues, and they've come in and they've let the word take over their life and they have turned it around, and their joy is 160 or even 30 times what it was. Their walk with God is so much more amazing. Now, what you got to understand, when Jesus was saying this in those times, generally a 10% yield was an amazing yield. If you got 20%, you had a really good year. You were in high cotton, as they say. And if you got 30%, you bragged to everybody. But never did anybody get 60 or 100% of what they've sown. Why is it that some people get it and others don't? Why is it, and I've watched this over and over in my years of ministry, where some people come in and they take the word, they take it in, they bring it with, it comes with joy, and they are able to internalize it. And when they come on Sunday morning, it is not a drudgery, it is a joy. When they partake of the Lord's Supper, there's something that wells up inside them. They're not just drinking a little bit of juice and eating a cracker. There is something that wells up inside of them that gives them strength for the following week. But then there's other people that come in and they leave the same way that they came in. Nothing's changed. I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old, and I've been all of these soils at one time or another. When I was younger and I had to listen to my dad preach, I learned a trick. I could look right at him. Now, one of the things I do is I move around. He didn't move around. He stood right here and preached. So I could fix my gaze on him, and I could go to the, in my mind, I could go to the Bahamas. And we had those songbooks, and you would take those songbooks out, and that noise alerted me, so I woke up from my gaze, and I knew it was over. And on the way home, my dad would ask me sometime, "What was the sermon about, Neil?" And I would say, "Jesus." Eighty percent of the time, I got it right. But I've also been the person that lets the cares of the world take me away from God. I've been stressed over money things. I've been stressed over family things. I've been stressed over health issues. And I've not let God in. But where I want to be and where you want to be is the good soil. You see, one person will come into this audience today and they will say on the way out to me, God spoke to me through you today. And then there'll be another person that come behind me, and the ones I really like are the ones that I see sleeping while I preach. By the way, just so you know for future reference, if you're sleeping, I see you. This is not TV where you can't, you know, I can't see it. But somebody will sleep during the sermon and then on the way out. That was a great sermon, Neil. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed your nap. But the one person will come out and you can tell they can't wait to hit the door and get away from all of this because they want nothing to do with it. What's the difference? The difference is the soil. And it's how you plow your soil. Look at your lesson notes. When you come to church, whether it's here or whether it's another congregation somewhere else, show up and expect that God has something for you. You need to show up and just expect that God has something for you. I have been doing this for 66 years, and I am amazed at how from time to time, something comes up in my study, something comes up in a Bible class, something comes up when I listen to other preachers, and I thought, I never thought of that before. When my dad was alive, one of the things that I loved about him, he had preached for many, many years, but from time to time, he would call me, and he would say, Neil, I read this today. I have been reading this for years, but today I saw this. And I would always act like I already knew it. Not really. But he had been preaching since he was 16 years old. In his 70s, he was still learning something new. Because he expected that God has something for him. Number two, worship. Set my heart and mind on who God is. That is a very difficult thing for a lot of people to do, is to set their minds and their hearts on who God is. One of the ways that we try to do that here, and if you come from another denomination and you're used to having a band up here and you're used to having maybe a choir or something like that, and you come in here and wait a minute, there's no instruments? And there's no choir. What are we doing here? And I want to tell you what we're doing is when we sing a cappella like this, it gives us a chance to worship and not be entertained. We come in here and we're all worshiping together. The only entertainment we have is Jason. And he's not very good. But he does look good up on stage, doesn't he? Amen. But the whole purpose behind that is not so that you can watch somebody else worship, but so you can look at the words. And you may not know the melody, but you can look at the words and you can set your heart and your mind on who God is. Number three, pray. Just ask God to give me one thing that I need to hear. Just ask God to give me one thing that I need to hear. Because there's something that's going to happen in every worship service. It may be in one of the songs that you hear. It will click in your heart. It may very well be in the communion service or in the scripture reading and prayer. Or it could possibly be in the sermon. But you'll hear that one thing if you pray and ask God, give me one thing that I need today. One thing that I need to hear. And God will do it. Number four, attitude. Be willing to surrender to whatever God is saying. Be willing to surrender to whatever God is saying. One of the things that I urge our congregation to do, and anybody who hears my voice, whether it's online or in person, is I urge everybody to not go through worship today and not be changed. You see, every worship service, God wants to do something in your life. He wants to make a difference. He wants to give you 30, 60, or 100 times the joy and the happiness, the peace that you need. And He does that when you worship. We sing an invitation song every week, and we sing that invitation song because of the fact that we want everybody to be in the right relationship with God. I look out over the audience while we're singing. I look around and I see people. The only people I can't see are the ones that are directly behind me, but I turn around and give them a good stern look too, especially if you see who sits behind me. But I look around the room and I pray for you. I pray that God will give you what you need today in order for you to leave this room and be different than when you came in. And the only way that's going to happen is when you surrender. And that's what we're going to do when we sing this invitation song. We're going to encourage you to surrender whatever it is you need to surrender in your life in order to have that relationship with God.